As I said this morning, we're going to have a look at the dynamics of success. But we're not going to begin in Acts 20, we're going to end in Acts 20. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10 for starters. And I want to say several things this morning that you've never heard before, and a few you have. I'm talking about the dynamics of success. And folks, whether you want to talk about success or not, everyone on earth either will or won't be a success. Now, I don't believe in unnatural driving. I'm not talking about something irrational or imbalanced. But if we have a destiny and the Bible teaches us we do, and we have a calling and the Bible teaches us we do, then we need to know something about succeeding. I think far too often God's people forget the fact that we are running in a race, that there is an opposition and it's not your friend or the person next to you or your spouse, it's the devil. And that he breaks all the rules. He's a thief. He wants to steal your success away from you. He's a murderer. He'll go to no end of hate to stop you. And he's a liar. He'll tell you anything he has to get you to quit. Now, as we look at the dynamics of success, we have to start. There's a key word in the dynamics of success. And if you'll get this one word, you can forget the many things I'm going to say. It is that important. The key word to success is desire. People don't succeed because they don't desire it enough. Desire. Now, desire is an amazing thing. And by the way, no one can give it to you. No one can give it to you. I want us to look in Romans chapter 10 and see that desire has a friend. It's called prayer. Look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire. Now, that's where desire has to be, by the way. And until you it slips down from your head to your heart, you're not going to get anywhere. My heart's desire and prayer. Notice those two go together, desire and prayer. Why do desire and prayer go together? Because if you really desire, you're going to want help. And that's what prayer is all about. Desire brings us to prayer. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he says in verse chapter 9 of the same book of Romans, something that shows us how powerful this desire was in Paul. He said, I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. That's how strong his desire was. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Now that's a mighty desiring, folks. You know, it's one thing to have a little bit of a taste for something, to dabble at something, but here's a desire that so enveloped Paul that it actually shaped and changed his entire life and brought him to the place where he said something that is almost blasphemous and completely theologically impossible. If I could be cursed for people to get saved, I'd do it. That's a strong desire. I have found this in my 58 years. People don't succeed in life because they don't desire enough. They don't have a strong enough desire. They have a desire enough to be interested. They have a desire enough to sort of pay attention, but they don't have a strong enough desire. They're not hungry. Most folks never get to the place where it means enough to them. I'll never forget hearing Robert Chula say something about 25 years ago that I had just preached on, and it just so reminded me. He said this, until you found something for which you're willing to die, you'll never know what it is to live. And folks, when Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, he expressed a desire. He had a passionate desire that was so powerful, it sucked him out of any interest in anything, anywhere, and put in him the strong desire to get the work of God done and then die. Without desire, success doesn't happen. Because as you may know by now, I hope you do, success isn't automatic and success isn't overnight.